This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number that you can call to get in on the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Mark.
And Jay has an announcement he'd like to talk to you about. He is going to be at Anarchapulco this year.
So, yes, from February 11th to the 16th in beautiful Acapulco, Mexico, is the Anarchapulco Conference, which is just a collection of anarchists talking about, you know, basically helping you be a better anarchist, let's say. So I'm going to be there talking about investing in our posterity. I'm going to be talking about the solutions for Generation Next to earn their dopamine hits so they're useful, competent adults that have a drive and a desire to, you know, want to just do things and get things done and have pride of accomplishment. And also there's an event right afterwards, which I will be attending at and hopefully presenting some kind of man camp workshop called Agraforco. That goes on from the 16th to the 25th. But go to anarchapulco.com and check out, what's going on. There's going to be a bunch of great speakers. And if you use coupon code J at checkout or when you order your tickets, you'll get a 10% discount. That's anarchapulco.com and coupon code J. And it's going to be a great time. I'm really looking forward to it. You'll be able to meet me, my wife, and my kids. We'll all be down there for it.
Excellent. Mark's been to Anarchapulco. I've never been there. They changed it up, though.
Yeah, it's a great event, or at least when I went, I wouldn't be able to say what it's like now. It's been a few years, but it sounds like it's a lot of fun. I get the emails, and it looks great. I'd love to go this year, but it looks like, as far as family stuff goes, I that won't be possible.
Yeah, they do it outdoors now instead of in a giant hotel, and that looks kind of nice.
Yep.
Well, moving on from the article, we were talking the last segment about Gen Z, the youngest generation. Well, I guess the second youngest, because children are something else. They're like alpha generation. But Gen Z is very anti-war compared to the boomers and Gen X and millennials. That's what we're talking about. But moving on, Jay brought in this article from ZeroHedge.com. And it's titled, I'm Going to Red Pill You About Vegetable Oils. And do you guys know what red pilling means? Could you explain it to listeners?
You'd like me to explain it?
Sure.
So red pilling is, you know, comes from the Matrix. Mm-hmm. You can take the blue pill and you can go back to sleep in the Matrix. Or you could take the red pill and you can be awake and realize all the stuff that's going on. And the reality is there's a lot of people who cannot handle the red pill.
Yeah.
So basically the red pill is the truth. And some people just can't handle the truth. And, you know, this red pill about these seed oils, I mean, seed oils are, like, super destructive to your health.
I agree.
For a multitude of reasons. And part of my Investing in Our Posterity lecture series that I'm working on is talking about seed oil and health and, you know, nutrition from a standpoint of, you know, when you have young calves and young piglets, is you want to feed them, like, really good, nutritiously dense food. And then what I'm noticing with a lot of parents, and I've noticed this for years, is like a lot of parents will, you know, give their kids garbage like cereal. There is no good cereal you can feed your kids, as far as I'm concerned. All cereal is just processed, refined garbage, and has a bunch of seed oils in it.
And it has a bunch of extra added iron and
folic acid, which is really bad stuff. And then
in a bad form, you can take you can crush up cereal, take a magnet, and get a little piece of metal.
Yeah, you can get get a lot of iron dust.
Did you see a video of this?
Yeah, you can look that up.
Huh. Oh yeah, so. So, like the augers in the grain mill, for example, you know, they're all metal and they wear as they're moving, you know, and then when they, so they auger the grain, you know, the grain gets augered in the combine, and it gets augered from the combine to the seed tender. It gets augered, you know, from the seed tender into a truck. It gets dropped into an auger at the grain mill, and it gets augered up these elevators. It's all metal on metal, and they wear and they fatigued. And, you know, one of my jobs when I worked in Colorado was like, the combine, the seed tender, you know, we were constantly replacing wear plates in them.
Well, I thought
because
they
would wear out.
That was just the stuff that they added. I thought
the
quote unquote enriched.
Maybe they do add it and they just call it a feature.
Yeah.
Well, and there is all kinds of stuff added too, but I tell you, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of metal shavings, metal dust, metal particulate in anything that goes through a commercial grain mill.
Wow, that's kind of creepy now that I know it's from that, but I'm definitely very red-pilled on vegetable oils. What about you, Mark?
You know, if I could just cut added sugar, then I'd work on the next thing, but I've been trying to do that for a while.
So this article, I didn't really read the entire article yet, but one of the first things that really woke me up about seed oils is, so Crisco, for example, is referred to as diabetes in a bottle.
Hmm.
So your body reproduces red blood cells. The most cells that get reproduced are red blood cells. They get changed out all the time. And red blood cells carry nutrients, you know, around to your body, bring nutrients to your cells, and they also remove waste. So when you're consuming anything that's like fried in seed oil, anything that has a hydrogenated oil. So this is basically all of your fast foods. Anything that's, you know, there, you go to the, like, you know, even a local mom and pop deli and they got a grill there, a griddle, and they're dumping Crisco on it or shortening or something or spraying it with Pam. This is the hydrogenated oil. Well, when your body consumes this hydrogenated oil, it actually uses the hydrogenated oil as cell building blocks for your red cells. So your cell membranes are essentially made from the hydrogenated oils instead of like the cholesterol.
Like if they use butter.
Right, butter or meat or whatever. But like instead of like, you know, real cholesterol that's like, you know, from animal fat, for example, or even like, you know, avocado or coconut oil, which is, you know, very stable and, you know, pretty good. They're not really considered seed oils because they don't. Well, for a multitude of reasons, they can be just pressed. They, you know, a lot of like your canola oil and stuff is, and soybean oils and things like that. They're
speller pressed. Isn't that bad?
Well, it's like a chemical reaction. They use petroleum based chemicals to sort of extract, to refine the oil into a usable, you know, like what your food grade oil isn't. Anyways, when you're eating fried food once a day, or even a couple times a week, your body is now manufacturing its red blood cells from the cell membranes of this hydrogenated oil. And what happens is your red blood cells can no longer absorb sugar.
Mm.
Like, it's really hard for them to absorb sugar.
I just to explain kind of to the listeners what this all means, what I learned, just to make it really simple, is sugar's not really bad for you. I'm red-pilled on sugar, unlike Mark, apparently. Sugar's not really bad for you if you're not eating the seed oils. And I have been subsisting on nothing but our friend Lori, who is on the show sometimes, baked goods and ice cream and stuff that's really easy to eat because I'm just like don't have very much energy and I have all of Ian's work to do. I'm eating so much sugar and I'm teetering between 2 digits and 1 digits in weight in pounds and I'm not fat. I think that it's all about you can eat
Hold
sugar.
On. You mean 2 digits and 3 digits in weight?
Yeah. What did I say? 2 digits.
One.
Well, okay, sorry. No,
somewhere between 11 pounds. And 9 pounds.
No, sorry. Sometimes I'm 99 pounds and I'm not fat. while I eat all this sugar. It's because I try not to eat as many seed oils as possible. I was accidentally eating some a couple weeks ago, and that was pissing me off. But I got a little more about this real quick. I think you should hold on. And we'll go to the caller, because I don't want to make him wait too long. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, I like to chew bubble gum and talk about Morazon, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
What do you have to say about Morazon, and what is that?
So, Ciudad Morazon, also known as Bootstrap City, is the leading free private city in the world. So this is a privately owned city that has the autonomy that a government would typically have. So that includes tax powers, private police, private roads. Who will build the roads? The private cities will.
Excellent. So this is in Honduras, right? And Mark,
right.
You've been there.
This is Alex, my good friend, and I asked him to listen, and he can't help himself to call in about Morazon. And I'm excited. I have an article here about Morazon that I wanted to share. So, you know, it's a nice lead in. But Alex, I think it's worth mentioning, what's the difference between a private city and any other city that people might be thinking about?
A typical city is run democratically, and you have no stability in what will happen. Your property taxes could change, the zoning regulations. Maybe some pandemic happens, and all of a sudden you can't go to your gym anymore without wearing a mask because the city said so. So that's the typical city. It's run by democratic means, by public officials. Where a private city is the landowner runs the city.
And what happens if you get somebody you don't like in a private city? I mean, people here in the Free State Project in New Hampshire, they think to themselves, well, you know, we really can't help who comes to be part of our project. But what happens in Morazon or Bootstrap if that happens?
Yes, so we have zero homeless people in Bootstrap City, and this will always be the case because the only way you can live here is if you rent here.
That makes sense. There's no welfare in Morazon City. See, that's in my dream private city in New Hampshire that I talk about a lot. I'm always saying I will just ignore the federal and the state government and create Bonnie's Barbie dream city with no welfare, and then there wouldn't be homeless people. There just wouldn't be. Because what would they do there? Just sit around actually suffering? No. They sit around on the streets doing drugs and stuff because they have welfare.
Right. I mean, somebody in Morazon or Bootstrap, however you want to call it, they can get away with being lazy as long as you allow them to. Now, certainly people suffer and, you know, people take care of their families and things like that. But, you know, these nation states have to take care of things like poverty, whereas, you know, these little units that we're calling private cities, they let people in who merit being let in.
It's a contractual relationship. It's everyone here is the product of a win-win interaction. The renter said, you know, these houses are very affordable. You provide high safety. There's no crime in Morazon. You can leave your door unlocked. None of the bikes are locked in the city.
Hold on.
This is worth pointing out, is that Morazon is right in the center of one of the most dangerous places in Honduras, which was one of, at one point, the most dangerous countries on the planet. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like the founder of this, Massimo, it's not like he picked an easy place. He wanted to show that the ideas of liberty work, and they work for everybody. And this is the most important part that I've been so terrible at communicating up to this point. You don't need libertarians to move to be successful. You just need to set up a libertarian city to start with, and everybody becomes a libertarian.
And would you say that's mostly due to the wall is why it's so safe? Or?
Yeah, I think that, well, so the wall's mandated by the government. I don't know what would have happened in another circumstance, but the wall was mandated by the law. And the purpose of the wall is basically so it's easier to commit crime outside of Morazan, which, how many acres is Morazan, Alex?
So it's 45 hectares, and the law is required because it's a duty-free zone.
Yeah.
So because goods imported directly into Morazan have no tax, the government wants a wall to prevent smuggling. Imagine you can just bring in TVs and iPhones and everything else without paying any import tax, something not possible in America, by the way, then you can have a much lower cost of living. And the government does not want everyone to have this lower cost of living if it comes at the expense of their cut. They want their cut of all those goods, and thus they say, build a wall.
And there is 2.471 acres to a hectare. And what did he say? It was 45 acres, so it was roughly 45 hectares would be roughly a little over 100 acres.
100 acres, yeah. So 100 acres is mandated by, again, the law in Honduras. And, the idea is that you have enough space to provide housing for people. And, Alex, I hear they're building. Now, have they... When you say they're building, are they planning to build again in Morazan? Concurrently, there's 64 units, and those things were filled up last I heard.
Mark, we don't have planning departments in Morazan. There's no building permits, zoning departments, none of that. We don't plan to build, we just build. And building we are. So every day, there's trucks moving in and out, carrying in dirt. They're bulldozing ground to make it nice and level. And within about 6 months, we should have another 40 units or so. How long is it?
And how many people live in 64 units?
200 people, approximately.
About 200? So yep. Call it 350 in 40 units, just round numbers?
Well, almost double our population in the next, I would say in the next year, we should more than double the population because there'll be more construction next year.
I've heard all kinds of bad things going on in Honduras about, the government's going to shut down Zetis. The government did shut down Zetis. They voted out the law. They did all kinds of things. What's going on with that?
You must have been reading fake news.
Well, they did get rid of the law, right?
Yes, so the big thing that was done is they repealed the Zeti law. And for those that don't understand the Zetis and the authority, that sounds significant. But there's three levels of security for the Zeti. It's perhaps the most secure freedom-related law in the world. There is the law, which is the easiest part to remove. It's just a normal act of Congress. There's the constitutional amendment. So they amended the Constitution to allow for these special zones. And then there are international treaty obligations, which are even higher than the Constitution. So they repealed the law, but in the repealing of the law, it's grandfathered in for 10 years. So it affects nothing of the existing Zetis.
But
I
thought there was something that happened, sorry to interrupt, where basically they had to say, okay, we're for sure going to get rid of the law, but they ended their congressional session without doing that, so it was null and void. That's what I thought happened, but it was kind of hard to understand without knowledge of what all is going on there.
And that's why Alex is here, because he is one of the foremost experts on this.
Hmm. Can people
own? What you're referring to is the constitutional protection. So in Honduras, to repeal a constitutional amendment takes two sessions of the legislature. So you can't just in 1 year get rid of something in the Constitution. You need two separate sessions of Congress and two separate years. So in 2022, they repealed the law and started the constitutional repeal process. However, this year, on October 31st, happy Halloween, the timeline to repeal the constitutional amendment expired. So it's no longer possible to repeal the constitutional amendment without another two sessions. So they'd have to, in the 2024 and 2025 Congress, vote to repeal it. But if they weren't able to repeal it now, it's far less likely they'll be able to appeal it in the future. Pretty much zero chance. Like most countries, amending the Constitution is extremely difficult, and it's that way on purpose.
So, right, yeah. And what I think is great about this project is that this is a one man's idea. And his idea is that libertarianism exists better when people compartmentalize and they specialize, as we were talking about here previously. And that includes, in this case, there's no homeownership in Morazan. It's all rentals. Can you address that?
Yeah. So there's a model of organization of a community called entrepreneurial community. The name is a little strange at first until you understand that it's describing a community managed by a single entrepreneur. So this is the single sole landlord of the community. You can think of an example such as a shopping mall. A shopping mall will be owned by one company, and it could have dozens to thousands of tenants, depending on the size of the shopping mall. That shopping mall provides public goods, from parking lots to securities. They might even have some small medical facilities, depending on the size of the mall. So the thought is this model is extremely efficient and gives you a ton of flexibility. And applying that to the residential sector allows for extreme flexibility as well. There's two key examples, I think, that make this clear for most people who I know their default instinct is, but if you don't own your house, then you're a slave. Right? That's kind of the American propaganda that the Fed and central banks have brainwashed you in. You must take out debt, get a loan, own a home, pump up the money supply, etc. And so in reality, your house should be a depreciating asset. Your roofs go bad, your windows go bad, everything in your house decays, and it doesn't really make sense for you to hire plumbers and tradesmen one by one to fix things, as opposed to a larger landlord having a plumber on payroll for a fraction of the cost. So there's all kinds of trade-offs for home ownership versus renting at scale, but the biggest two to take into account are, one, flexibility. We did not know what the city of the future would look like 100 years ago. American cities were poorly built. They were built around the automobile. And we now know, as you were talking earlier, right, many young people don't want to drive. They want a walkable city, the 15-minute city. All these things are very popular. The rent premiums are very high there. If you live in a normal city, to rezone, it's extremely difficult. You have to knock everything down. Whereas in this type of city, the landlord owns everything, the property is not a few
locations. Okay, it kind of gets cutting over you, the music is. We're going to be right back with more. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live. More on this when we come back.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. High-ranking officials from the Biden administration are scheduled to travel to Mexico in response to an increase in migrants crossing the southern border. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
Secretary of State Tony Blinken, Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas to meet with President Lopez to discuss further actions that can be taken together to address current border challenges.
Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York City and attorney for Donald Trump, has filed for bankruptcy following a Georgia jury's decision last week to award more than $148 million in damages for defamation against two election workers. The head of Colorado State GOP says Colorado Republicans will ignore any results of the state's GOP primary if former President Trump isn't on the ballot.
So we will just elect delegates however we want through the caucus at the state assembly on the 6th.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call to bring up whatever is on your mind. That's 603-283-6160. And I would like to tell you about ForkFest 2024. Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 13th through the 16th for the 8th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which has sold out in recent years. ForkFest happens the weekend before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, which means that there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 13th through the 16th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there June 13th through the 16th. ForkFest.party. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And Mark.
Remotely in Florida.
That's right.
And was there anything else you wanted to say about Morazon City? I kind of out of habit dropped Alex during the break.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why somebody has to be held over the break necessarily. Yeah. But I, you know, I'm excited about what's going on in Morazon, and I'm it's sort of from an observer standpoint. I'm not trying to advocate that people move to Morazon to be free. What I'm saying is that private cities, what we've been talking about here on Free Talk Live for 20 years, work. Morazon's designed as a place for workers at factories that make textile factories in Honduras to have a safe and dignified place to live for a low amount of money. The rent there that I was paying, I think they're going to raise it a little bit, but I don't know how much. I haven't done the calculations or anything. But the rent that I was paying when I was there was $120 a month. If you included everything, I was putting in about $200 to $250. And that's because I was living lavishly. Families can live for far less there. And safe, totally safe. Which, you know, like I said, this isn't a safe place. But it itself is safe.
Yeah,
outside of Morazon, it's not safe. Inside of Morazon, it is. And I think that that's just amazing. It's a huge leap forward. And everything we believe appears to be so. And like we said, it was going to be. And finally, somebody's tried it. And Honduras allowed for at least a brief period of time for private cities to be created. And, it's great stuff. The current government of Honduras, the Libre Party, I mean, they're terrible. The other Zede, Prospera, mm-hmm. They've got a couple of very powerful Libra people that are associated with the town that is right next door called Crawfish Rock. And so they say all kinds of terrible things about the Zede.
Hmm.
They've even spread the rumor that the Zede is out murdering people.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, like, just crazy Prospera stuff. Like, or all of them?
Yeah, this would be Prospera, yeah. Wow. As though they're hunting down the people of Crawfish Rock like some kind of modern-day, what's the book that, and the movie that was so popular? Anyway, I can't remember it. The book that's supposed to be the terrible dystopian future where they hunt people.
I don't know that one, honestly.
It was very popular, but
Hunger Games,
yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not your fault.
It's actually mine. More like a battle. It's not really that they're hunting people, so I got a little confused. Maybe even okay. I read it in high school.
It's kind of like a gladiator thing. Yeah.
So
anyway, what has happened is that the people of Crawfish Rock, and a large percentage of them are employed at Prospera, they're saying to their, you know, their overlords who are this Libra party, they're saying, no more of this. We are getting, you know, we're getting paid and we're getting treated well by Prospera, and you won't be treating us like that anymore. And now the Libra party, like the one person owns like a bunch of the houses there, they're kicking out people that have been vocal against them. They're kicking them out of their homes. So Prospera has to quickly build housing for these people so that they can have a place to live, because their evil socialist overlords are like, if you don't believe what we believe, you're out on the street.
Don't people have right to bear arms in Honduras?
Well, first off, arms are expensive, and Hondurans tend to not be very wealthy. But yes, guns are all over the place. I mean, people use them to guard. There's people guarding all kinds of businesses and that kind of thing. As to how easy or hard it is, the best I can tell is it's pretty darn easy to get a gun. But I can't speak to it. I'm not a firearms expert in Honduran law.
Well, it looks like we have a caller on the line, so I'm going to go to Tim in Florida, even though it's a little weird because Tim told me that he would never call in when I was hosting ever again. But go on, Tim. What's on your mind?
Got a good point.
What is the point, Tim?
Oh, I think he hung up.
Yeah,
he called me Yoko Ono, because Yoko Ono famously kept the Beatles together while John Lennon was in jail or something like that.
That is stinging.
So stupid. Nice. I just pointed out a fact, and he hung up, so I wasn't the one being mean there. He emailed me saying he would never call in with a female host ever again hosting, and it was because of me. I was like,
well,
I
if he ever says
Yoko
Ono to you again, you just go,
oh my God. Mark, that's true statement.
It is racist. But no, she did this some kind of weird singing on some album. It was
yeah,
awful.
Yeah. There's that video of her singing like that. It just sounded kind of funny the way you said it. Well, Jay brought in the story we were discussing a few subjects ago about vegetable oils. And there's a story on Zero Hedge called I'm Going to Red Pill You About Vegetable Oils. Could you just summarize what it is that basically is going to tell us about vegetable oils?
Let me summarize one thing I was saying first. So, like Crisco is diabetes in the bottle. So when you consume these vegetable oils, seed oils, oxidated hydrogenated oils is basically what they are by the time you get them. They are not like that oil that's pressed out of a soybean. You know, it's chemically altered, for example. And even oil, even soybeans, we shouldn't be consuming them anyways. Like, one of the things, I don't feed my pigs any soy. And I specifically have people like, oh, you don't feed your pigs or chicken soy, right? We don't want soy in them because, you know, all the soy is Roundup ready. So it's got a bunch of chemicals in it. It's got a mineral inhibitor called, you know, Agent Orange is what it was originally called, but now that's what Roundup basically is, glyphosate, Agent Orange. But when you consume this, your red blood cells are essentially made, the cell membrane, the cell wall is made from these oil molecules, and instead of an animal-based cholesterol molecule. And then what happens is these red blood cells are basically unable, or is the efficiency is dropped tremendously, its ability to transport sugar. So you have, like, when you consume sugar and you've eaten some fried food, your blood sugar, your glucose index or glycemic index spikes a lot because the sugar is not being absorbed by the blood. It's not going to the muscles. So your muscles definitely burn glucose to, like, recover. Well, when you've ate, you know, some Popeye's fried chicken, like I'm, you know, Mark is addicted to.
I am a fan.
Probably
once a month.
That's not bad. If you're doing it, like, you know, every third day, it's, you know, you are going to be diabetic.
Fried chicken isn't that good.
Yeah.
So anyways... your body can't, like, deal with the sugar. So you have a lot of sugar in your blood, but it's not getting absorbed by the red blood cells, so therefore it's not being carried to the places it needs. It's not getting into your toes. It's not getting into your eyes. It's not getting, you know, to replenish muscle. So this is where you have diabetics that they're getting toes amputated because the sugar is not getting there.
That, and you know what's really bad about that? Your brain mostly uses sugar to transmit all of its electric things.
Yep. So your brain now needs sugar. It's not getting it. And then you crave more sugar. So these people, you know, want more sugar because they're on the seed oils. And what you were talking about is you can have some sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what kind of sugar is Lori using? Is she using maple syrup? Is she using honey?
I don't know. I drink coffee every day with honey, and I haven't had any kind of issues getting fat or ugly. What happens is, if I eat, like, a Snickers bar, I will immediately break out.
Yep.
But I don't break out from just, you know, honey, maple syrup. I don't know. This thing I'm drinking right here is stevia. It hasn't seemed to be very bad for me.
So anyways...
And Jay, I'm just to interrupt, Laura couldn't handle the whole FBI raid thing and stuff like that, so we got a divorce some time ago.
Oh, no, he said Lori, because I was talking about eating a bunch of Lori's food. But
all right,
still,
I just wanted to clarify.
Oh.
So anyways, yeah, so Lori's a co-host here on Free Talk Live on Wednesday nights.
Yes. Lori.
So Lori and Stu used to live, over at my place, and Lori is an awesome baker.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would make these cakes that were would use maple syrup and would use, just a bunch of fruit blends, inside, with the cake. And she is the best baker, I think.
She's a really, really good baker. Oh my God. Well, her husband came by the house and just gave me this box of a whole bunch of cookies and a whole loaf of cinnamon bread she made. and some fudge and some teas for Christmas, and that is just the sweetest thing that anyone has ever done.
Oh, yeah, she's got the best butterscotch cookies I've ever had. Anyways, but there's a big, all sugars are not equal. So getting back to the sugar and the seed oils, the sugar, your body is basically not able to deal with the sugar, not able to deal with it correctly, which leads to a bunch of complications. Now your blood sugar skyrockets. When your blood sugar skyrockets, then your body needs to produce insulin, and then the pancreas, in order to produce enough insulin to keep up with stuff, the adrenal glands got to kick in, so the pancreas can produce more and more insulin, and you get like become now your pancreas burns out, you have all these problems, you have all these health issues. So the seed oils are really bad. To sum up this article, so they basically talk about like how people who've been using margarine have like 700.
And that's what they call trans fats, right?
Yes.
TUFAs, it's polyunsaturated fatty acids, where they have a whole bunch of different areas where an oxygen molecule can get in there instead of just one, like a monounsaturated fatty acid, I guess is what you'd call it. And that's bad because it makes your whole body more subject to oxidation.
So what they talk about is these omega-6 fatty acids can cause chronic inflammation. So your seed oils are loaded with this omega-6 fatty acid and that are linked to autoimmune diseases and an imbalance with omega-3. So the omega-3s are like your fish oil, like that are really good and beneficial for you. This high omega-6 fatty acids links diets and vegetable oils to oxidative stress, mitochondrial dysfunction. So mitochondria is like the engine of the cell, and when it doesn't function correctly, your cells don't work properly, genetic damage, and increased risk of cancer and heart disease. So these, you know, the extraction processes for vegetable oils like canola, soybean, and corn oil involves unnatural methods such as high heat and chemical solvents, leading to oxidization and trans fat. These oils, a modern dietary phenomenon, have been seen tremendous use since the early 1990s, paralleling the increase in chronic health issues. And I can tell you, these oils are dirt cheap compared to, like, you know, so 100 years ago, you know, all of our great grandmothers, they fried that country fried chicken in pork lard.
Yeah. And it wasn't a pork that ate nothing but soybean its whole life, because now the lard you buy on the grocery store shelf is just basically seed oil. It's basically soy oil because they make their pigs in soy or feed their pigs soy, so their pigs are made of soy, and their lard is too.
And all of these, you know, seeds that they're getting these oils from are heavily government subsidized. So, like, the soybean subsidy is huge. The canola oil subsidy is huge. Canada produces a ton of canola. And, you know, soybean and canola oil should be used as a motor fuel and a lubricant. That's really, you know, about it. And when they started getting really good at, you know, so with the petroleum that comes out of the ground, the crude oil, replacing a lot of, because it's a superior lubricant than, like, seed oils. So your cotton seed oil and canola oil, those were basically lubricants back in the day. And then when the petroleum started coming into the market and you were making gasoline from the refining process, you had all of this byproduct left over that actually makes really good, really stable lubrication oils for, like, engines and stuff and drive lines. And
that's what's gross about it. It's like most of these oils came about because they're a byproduct, and the person who's manufacturing whatever it's a byproduct of was like, oh, I want to make more money, so what can we use this for? Oh, let's make margarine out of it. That, I just want to tell the listeners what the hateful eight are, as they're calling them. The eight seed oils that you should avoid, because my parents are always texting me like, is this a seed oil? It's really, I guess you should say vegetable oil because they're not all from seeds, but one of the worst ones is sunflower oil. Then there's soy oil, cottonseed oil, which is even worse than sunflower oil, safflower oil, which is the worst of the worst, corn oil, rice bran oil, grape seed oil, and then canola oil, aka rape seed oil. Those are the hateful eight.
Grape seeds are oily? I'm surprised you can get anything out of them.
I don't even know what a grape seed is. Yeah, they're so tiny. I don't know. I don't know how you get away with that.
If they can make grape seeds nearly invisible in a grape, they can make them very large and, you know, probably squeeze them for oil, I guess.
Well, that is probably what they do, make them bigger.
Well, for every bottle of wine, there's going to be, you know, an amount of seeds. For every, you know, grape juice or grape jam or jelly, there's going to be some seeds. And these, and they're gonna find a way to market that instead of throwing it out, for example.
Right.
And there's a big difference between a whole seed, like a whole grape seed. How many whole grape seeds would you have to eat to come up with the amount of oil in that grape seed? And let's not forget, these oils are, you know, chemically, essentially, you know, so like in the cannabis industry with making like cannabis waxes and like what they call dab waxes and stuff like that, there is a chemical solvents that they use to make these things, and they'll usually use like a butane or stuff, and that is generally like the cheaper type of, like, you know, cannabis or THC wax or oil that you'll find on the market. And then they have, like, stuff that's just pressed.
Yeah,
like
just pure.
They just put it in a press, and it's pressed.
And there's nothing, like, really bad for you about that, but it freaks me out to think of all the additives and fragrances that are in these, like, weed pots of little jars of quote-unquote weed that people are smoking these days, and those little pens that are just a gel, basically. That freaks me out. Like, I don't even know what is in all that stuff. At least if you have a plant, you know, it's just a plant, well, it might have Roundup sprayed on it, but still.
Well, the thing that's kind of scary about, like, cannabis and hemp, if you're, like, ingesting it and smoking it, is one thing it does really, really well is it augments the soil. It cleans the soil. So if you have soil that has, like, lead, cadmium, you know, and all kinds of these heavy metals, for example, that hemp or cannabis plant, like, uptakes that out of the soil, and then it puts it right into the actual. Well, I don't know if it puts it into the seed or if it puts it into, like, the bud or where exactly, but it gets in it. There was actually an article I wanted to look at a while ago. I don't know where it is, but it basically talked about the high levels of lead and cadmium that is in these THC products because, for example, like in Massachusetts, they're growing a lot of this pot, basically, industrial in, like, a lot of these warehouses. Manufacturing buildings that are like 200 years old. They're all over the place. These mill buildings that are just covered in, like, lead and cadmium, and it's just everywhere.
Gross.
And it's like, and then a lot of the, you know, a lot of the dirt that they're using in the soil is, you know, it's not really being tested. Like, and there's definitely, you know, some high levels of lead and cadmium in people's, like, blood and stuff from this basically dirty weed.
Apparently chocolate has the same thing, and lead and cadmium are, I don't know if you'd call it a forever chemical, but it's something that is not supposed to be processed through your body. Like, it'll get stuck in your brain and probably your fat cells, because I know fat cells are a place where you're, when your body's like, I don't know what to do with this, it puts it in a fat cell, which is a good reason to not have a lot of those just sitting around. And the same thing is apparently true about chocolate, is what you're saying, with the factories around.
Well, not
marijuana.
So much a factory. Oh, well, yeah. So with a lot of the marijuana grows in Massachusetts, they're in a lot of these old mill buildings that are on the rivers that have hydropower plants within them.
Mm-hmm.
And because the guy, like, so I know a guy who owns one of these outfits, that he owns one of these buildings, and he rents, like, almost all of his space now to some growing operations because he can sell them the electricity for, like, triple the price he can sell the electricity into the grid because he's got hydropower. And
he should just mine crypto instead.
I tried getting him to do
really?
That. Yeah, he did not want to mess with crypto because the amount of money he's getting from the weed growers is pretty crazy on the electricity side. So when he sells it into the grid, he gets, like, 4 cents a kilowatt. When he sells it to the weed grower, he gets, like, 12 cents a kilowatt or something. And if the weed grower had to buy it from the grid, it would basically cost about 30 cents a kilowatt. Like right now in New Hampshire, it's, like, 29 cents a kilowatt for electricity. Like, 6 months ago, it was 33 cents a kilowatt. It went down just a little bit. But so it's kind of a lucrative thing with almost all these mill towns now. You got all these, you know, huge grow operations. And so anyways, and even if like a lot of people are like, you know, if you're, you know, like the house, you know, that I lost in Bonsville, Massachusetts due to the property tax thing was an old mill house. I tested some of the soil around there and it had like a lot of garbage in it. It was like, you should be, you know, growing your tomatoes in a bucket, not in that dirt. You know?
Wow.
Because it was like, so I never really did any gardening there, but I had a farm that wasn't far away that I went to all the time, my dad's farm. We had gardens there, and that soil was, you know, pretty clean, but it was on the top of a mountain, and it was no light, and it wasn't like a textile mill for, you know, the past 400 years. So there's a big difference between the soil in New England all around, you know, where these mills are along all these rivers, versus like, you know, the soil in like Denver or even, you know, California, for example.
Well, yeah, I'm just creeped out by all the things that they add to marijuana before you smoke it. And then putting any kind of smoke into your lungs is also bad for you. So that's something I'm not doing anymore. But I think it'd be worse. You'd be worse off eating seed oils all the time, because this article tells us, it basically explains exactly what Jay was telling us about the extraction process and what the inflammation is doing inside your body and the oxidative stress. But it also says the Minnesota Coronary Experiment found that participants who increased their intake of corn oil and margarine had an 86% higher incidence of heart attacks despite lower cholesterol levels. So the thing is, like, back in the, I want to say the 60s or the 50s, they started making cholesterol seem like the devil. Like, cholesterol is the really bad thing that we should avoid.
Yeah, it was Harvard in the 70s, and it's all been debunked. Even like, I recently know, have a friend, he's this older fella, and he had like a heart attack and some things, and they're like, no, you have to eat margarine. And I'm like, are you crazy? They're still saying to do margarine?
That sucks so bad.
You know, the pharma is so screwed up. They want you to be a customer for life. They don't want you to heal.
And then you're a customer of their terrible foods in the United States, and then you're a customer of their pills to heal you after the foods poisoned you. And it also says the margarine study, which is a great name, revealed that the group consuming margarine high in linoleic acid from vegetable oils had a 700% higher rate of strokes, heart attacks, and cardiovascular deaths compared to the group consuming omega-3 rich fish oil. It's Free Talk Live, and more is coming up. Don't go anywhere. 603-283-6160 is the phone number, and it's Free Talk Live.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.